Hello, everybody. This is Jake Stenziano, host of Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, Mr. Gino Barbaro.
The Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast catalogs our journey to becoming financially free through multifamily real estate investing.
Gang, each week we interview a guest specifically chosen for their expertise in and around multifamily real estate.
We talk you through our entire process, every victory and every misstep and everything that we've learned along the way.
What does that look like? Buy right, manage right, and finance right.
The audio podcast is available wherever fine podcasts are found.
Or check us out on our YouTube page where you'll find tons of other great content.
That's the double-edged sword, is that when people are listening to me, they're like, oh, that means I can do it. They don't realize who you must become along the journey is way more important, not only to the world, to your family, but it's what's required, because you're making so many promises to so many different people that you got to know how to fulfill on them. I mean, wholesaling, did it sound easy? It didn't start easy.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
I'm tweeting that puppy.
Okay. This is Sell or Die, the only sales podcast on the planet that isn't afraid to say you're either selling or you're dying. Because there's no second place in sales. Win or go hungry. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gleckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. And today, we are going to help you sell like hell.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a great guest coming up. But first, we want to introduce you to the one, the only, our man behind the curtain, behind the glass wall.
Wait, it's a glass window.
What? You know, it's a metaphor here. It's okay. Our amazing producer, Mr. Doug Branson. Hey, Doug.
Hello, Jeffrey. Hello, Jennifer. I want to remind everyone they can subscribe to this podcast and share it with their friends on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, wherever you get your podcast. Just search Sell or Die and make sure to leave us a review. We always love getting feedback from the diehards out there.
Five stars or nothing.
That's
Doug
right.
Doug sounds amazing on the mic.
We're the Uber of podcasts. We want a five-star rating.
Except we don't rate you. You only rate us. And don't forget to join us for Motivation Mondays, our live sales meeting on Facebook.com/Jeffrey Gittimer. We put on the podcast feed as well. But if you join us live on Facebook, you get to see us, interact with us, engage with us, ask us questions, or just say hello.
Okie dokie. Let's get to the rest of the show. It's time to sell or die.
Jay Massey is a full-time real estate investor, entrepreneur, author, speaker, coach, and my favorite part of his title, all-around problem solver. He turned his real-world fieldwork into killer training courses so that new and seasoned investors alike can learn win-win solutions to solve real estate problems for buyers, sellers, and other investors. He's also the host of the Cash Flow Diary podcast. Diehards, say hello to Jay Massey.
Woo! Let me, wait.
We're glad you're here.
Let me be the first. Hello, Jay Massey.
Hey, guys.
I'm formerly glad. Jermaine Massey, I should say.
Yeah, you can get it right, sure.
Yeah, exactly. The challenge that anybody has in real estate these days is that they think it's going to cost an arm and a leg, or at least an arm, and they're afraid to do it. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but what caused you from being where you were? Were you always in California?
No, I'm a military kid, grew up overseas.
Cool.
And you got your t-shirt on. I love that. 9 out of 10 businesses fail. What does it say? Before they get started?
No.
What?
So I started 10.
Oh, I see.
I love that.
That's a classic. That is a classic. One of my best friends, her name is Victoria LaBom. She married Frank Oz, and she was in her 40s, and he was in his 60s, and it was her first marriage. And people say, well, how come you've never been married before? And she said, well, I just skipped my first divorce.
Exactly.
That was just an amazing line.
Yep.
Exactly. It's kind of like that.
All right. So let's talk about you.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. How'd you get into real estate?
Well, I didn't choose it. In fact, one of the things that I often tell people is that I don't like real estate because the walls and the, you know, draperies and flooring, that's not something that's me. What happened really quickly is that my wife, when she's pregnant, she has a condition known as hyperemesis. It means she can't eat or drink while pregnant. I punctured my lung and I could not walk and talk simultaneously without fainting. And we found ourselves in a situation where we needed a source of income, but had no job.
She couldn't eat, drink, walk, or talk.
Oh my goodness, you guys were a mess.
I couldn't walk or talk, and she couldn't eat or drink. Yes, exactly. A mess is an understatement.
Yeah.
And, you know, for some reason, we still needed food, and we still needed electricity, and those are the decisions we were beginning to make, was the electricity or food. And what ended up happening is I started selling our personal possessions on eBay.
What year was this, Jay?
This was right before everybody else went through. So this was at the end of, end of 07. No. Beginning of 07, or basically 07.
So a decade ago.
All right.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And then what happened is from selling the stuff on eBay, I learned that CompUSA, if you remember that store, they were going out of business.
Yep.
So I went to their stores, bought their inventory, and then I started reselling that same inventory on eBay.
I love that.
And cool. I was like, okay. And then someone said, you know, you should become a real estate investor. And I looked at him funny because at the time I had a credit score of 398, no money, and didn't know where even lunch was going to
come from. 398, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's some people don't know it goes that low, but it did. and we do this thing where people say, you know, hey, have you ever considered getting involved in real estate investing? We tell them why we can't do something. And for whatever reason, this was the first time I didn't do that. All I said was, you know, you're going to have to show me because I have no money and no credit. And by no money, and a lot of us say that we believe we have no resources, but what we're lacking is resourcefulness. And having to, you know, sell your own personal possessions and all this other squatting and bank owned property, that's where we started. But it's a solution. I needed a source of income that could work if I couldn't. And real estate was the answer. That's how it started.
Yeah, but if you thought you couldn't do it because you had, and I'm going to show, I don't know how, I'm assuming you give talks. If I were you, my first slide would be $398, $159, sell my shit. That would be my first slide. And then put a date to it. You know, this is 2007.
Yes, absolutely.
And then just ask the audience, how many of you have ever been in that kind of situation?
Absolutely. It's funny. You're writing the presentation that I used to do for real. That's literally how we started, because it was hard. It's hard for people sometimes to believe because and I had to learn to sell from a position of strength. I had to learn to sell. I had to learn to so many things at that particular time. But it just turns out in real estate investing, what I was doing on eBay actually exists in real estate investing. It's just called wholesaling. So and if you think about it, all I was doing is buying something at a discount, reselling it at a discount to someone else. And all I applied was better marketing and sales ability to that exact same item. And therefore we made a small spread in the middle. And that's how I started in the real estate world. We would earn between $2,000 to $26,000 per transaction. And I learned to do them in 72 hours.
Wait, what?
Whoa.
Okay, you're making it sound so easy.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry, Mr. Joe Schmo, you have a low credit score and almost no money in the bank, and you can do this too.
No money. Zero would have been a step up. Zero would have been.
Wow. but like, break it down. Like, where do you even start? How do you get approved? I'm at a loss here.
Yeah. There's assumptions that's being made, and it starts with value. You got to understand it's the creation of value that makes entrepreneurs money. That's what we extract. That's what we receive from our customers. When we create value, we receive little slips of paper that are called thank you notes, also known as dollars. You know, that's really what it comes down to. So, I'll go somewhere that's familiar to you. And so that way you'll understand, like when you go to the doctor, what ends up happening is that they provide a service for you. In fact, the last time you went to the doctor, you've never asked them, hey, let me see your degree before you operate.
Correct.
On
mm-hmm.
Didn't ask.
You know, sometimes they have it hanging on the wall, but you certainly don't ask for it.
And right. You don't even read it if it is there. You're just like, okay, you almost expect something to be in a plaque. It could just be a formal birth certificate. It doesn't really matter. Something is there and you ignore it. What you care about is, can you solve my problem? You are bleeding. You are in pain. Doc, I am here to get my problem solved. If you can solve it, I don't need to know your name. I don't care about your social security number. I don't care where you live or what you drive. I just care that you fix me. And that's the same issue that happens with people in the with all of our money. I mean, people are struggling to retire. People are struggling to figure out what they're going to do. And here's this is all I did. It's really, really simple. I was able to find a way to create a deal structure that allowed people either with retirement plans or people who didn't have credit to be able to buy the house. And in exchange for structuring all of that, they would pay me $2,000 to $26,000. That's what it comes down to at the end of the day.
Wow. Gotcha. So you found people that wanted a house but couldn't get the house, and you figured out a way to help them get the house.
Yeah, everybody's got a problem.
What was the average price of the home that you were selling?
At that time, we started, because I wanted more experience, so I started at lower end markets. The very first one I attempted to do was in San Bernardino, California. I learned that California is too expensive. Then I went to Illinois, and then we were doing $30,000, $40,000, and $50,000 houses. Then I went over to Michigan, Memphis, Tennessee. I went to Georgia. I've done hundreds of transactions.
But once you find the formula, you can do it wherever you are.
Yes.
Assuming that you have the moxie to be able to pull it off.
And that's what I tell people. I was like, real estate investing is no different than time. Choose. It's a very step-by-step process. And once you understand it, you know, you can go anywhere. The only reason you don't spend your time learning how to tie shoes on a 3-day boot camp in a weekend is because the marketplace doesn't reward that skill. If it did, you would be tying everybody's shoes. But because it doesn't, you learn how to tie shoes and you move on. This, real estate investing is a skill set. All it is value creation. I identified a problem. Someone needed a house that they wanted to own either for them, primarily for investment, and somebody else had a house that they no longer wanted. You match the two. And what it comes down to is when you do that, you get paid. It's the same thing that retail stores do today.
What about the real estate broker that was involved or the agent that was involved in that transaction? Do you
still? I was waiting for that question.
No. Well, there you damn go. I gave it to you.
There it is.
No, it always comes up. But at the end of the day, you learn to do it as a principle and having what is known as constructive control and equitable interest in every property. That's a long, fancy way of saying there was no broker involved.
But did they also give you like the power of attorney so that even if there was a broker involved, you'd be able to go around him or her?
No, when there was a broker involved, with those transactions usually never worked because the broker was too concerned about their commission as opposed to what was best for them.
Gee, that's a surprise.
Yeah,
surprise. Yeah, for years I've taught at real estate agencies and our mortgage people, and I go, why do real estate agents go to closings? And the answer is to get their money, to get a check.
Yeah,
that's their whole deal. They want to make sure I want to make sure that, no, dude, you're there for a check.
Hey, everybody, this is Jeff Bajorek from the Why on the Buy podcast, wishing nothing but the best for you and yours this holiday season as we roll into 2019. Christy and I have some really exciting stuff in store for you as we head into January and beyond, and we cannot wait to share it with you. So as you head into this new year and you think about all the promise that is ahead, remember, when you know your why, your hows and your whats get much better.
Have a lot of salespeople and entrepreneurs who listen to our show. They're our diehards. And if diehard wants to get into real estate investment, where do they begin?
Well, honestly, I mean, the truth of the answer is you order it. It begins mentally because you've got to understand value creation and where does that value come from? That's what it comes down to. And you've got to understand where you want to play in that value chain. There are some people, there's so many ways to skin this cat. And the number one question that I have found that every real estate person has neglected to ask and therefore did not answer is, whom do you want to serve? Most real estate investors forget that it's still a business and you're serving a customer. If we were open a restaurant, the very first thing you'd be thinking about is the type of food and who's going to be there. And you'd be catering to their needs. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to being a landlord or a tenant or a fix and flip person, you don't think about who are you going to sell this to. Even if you're doing traditional real estate, and hear me clearly when I say this, you are in the sales game. You may have written a 1-year lease, but you are selling that sucker every 30 days because you got to collect that check and you got to convince them making that payment. because vacancy is horrible, destroys your business. I got stories on that one. And at the end of the day, you've got to understand how that value is created. Why does the tenant want to stay at your property? Why does the property manager, why are they willing to manage your property if you're using them? Why is the lender willing to lend? How do you, as the linchpin, and this is the best part, as the real estate entrepreneur, we have the all the leverage because everybody is waiting for us to decide what to do. And then, yes, everybody gets, you know, divvied up and paid respectively. But without us in the middle being willing to take that risk and sign our names on the line, nothing happens.
Did you study somebody in order to be able to get into this? Was there a guru?
There's unlimited numbers of individuals. At the time, there was an institution that was going around that was teaching individuals. But it's not just about the information. It's not a lack of information. It's a lack of willingness to act upon what we already know. Everybody knows what to do.
But there's a guy named Carlton Sheets. Do you know Carlton Sheets?
I've heard of him. I've never studied any of his.
He was the original no money down, get a house. And a buddy of mine in Asheville is the number one Carlton Sheets success story on the planet.
Wow.
I mean, literally owns hundreds of rentals based on the Carlton Sheets strategy.
Yeah. And it makes sense. That's the double-edged sword, is that when people are listening to me, they're like, oh, that means I can do it. They don't realize who you must become along the journey is way more important. Not only to the world, to your family, but it's what's required because you're making so many promises to so many different people that you got to know how to fulfill on them. I mean, wholesaling, did it sound easy? It didn't start easy. You're talking to a guy who's naturally introverted, shy, does not want to deal with people. And now I'm in real estate.
Yeah. Jay, you got over your introversion.
It's called being broke, sir, and needing.
Yeah.
So you just said this thing and sort of glossed over it, which is who you must become. But tell us more about that.
Got it. So when it comes down to it, you as a salesperson or an entrepreneur or whatever, you are making a fundamental promise to a customer. I mean, some people don't have kids because they're afraid of the responsibility. Some people don't want to have a business because, again, they don't want to be responsible for employees or paying those people. It takes a certain person who's willing to take responsibility. And in fact, what's really interesting, if you've ever studied the tax code, the more responsibility you take, the less taxes you pay. And it takes a certain type of person who's willing to not only take the responsibility, but also lead, meaning, which is code for give. When things go good, you give everybody else credit. When things go bad, it's all your fault.
Yeah, exactly. Bank don't give a shit about other people when you owe money.
Right. And that's really what it comes down to is not, and it can be scary. I mean, we're talking millions and millions and tens of millions of dollars that, it can be a challenge to you know, hey, what if? I mean, that what if game will mess with you mentally. It's the most important asset that entrepreneurs have, and we must protect it.
So I am a sales guy, and I have a job, and I'm making my 150 whatever, and I want to get into real estate. Can I start this as what is currently known as a side hustle, or do I have to go in with both feet?
There are other as I said, is the first question becomes, who do you want to serve? Because there's a certain amount of skill sets that you have that will transfer and be lended easily. So it depends on how you want to play in the real estate game, because there's so much value created in there. So can you start? Yes. But how is the question? Because I would not recommend wholesaling as a way to start because it requires so much time. You've got to build your buyer's list, your seller's list.
Gotcha.
And then you got to get those matched together. And those are long relationships because you're in a high trust and high dollar sale, high trust and high dollar. So both of those things together require lots of relationship building, which depending on the demands of your current, you know, 9 to 5 or actually 9 to 9, you may not be able to get it done.
Or 8 to 9. Let's just say I'm a guy and I want to buy a couple of pieces of property and collect some rent. Is that a good way to start, or is that not a good way to start?
Compared to what?
Compared to
doing nothing?
Compared to buying a piece of real estate and then reselling it.
Oh, got it. I'm a cash flow guy. I don't do the short-term hold flip it and let it go thing. That's not the thing that I get excited about, because if you're going to play in this financial game, mm-hmm. you must own and control the means of production, also known as assets, that have the ability to work when you can't. And if you don't play that game, you lose out on one very important thing, which is inflation adjustable income. So I recommend everybody either learn to build an asset or buy assets in some way, shape, or form.
So you mentioned at the beginning of our episode something about making the match and doing and making the deal within like 72 hours or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so do you already know the buyer before you buy it?
Yes, that's exactly right. I mean, and that's the thing. I always tell people. So again, this is so funny. I love how excited people get around real estate, because it sounds like it's mystical, but it's really common sense.
Exactly. Well, it's not mystical. It's the secret is you have to work your ass off, and your day starts at 7 in the morning and may end at 10 o'clock at night. And I would say most deals are probably made before 9 and after 5.
Yes, I would agree with all of those things, because you got to understand the most important thing for any business owner or any business, for example, is their database. So if I invest the time that you just talked about in building the database of buyers and sellers, it's really easy. So I'm being risk adverse. I would want to know, like, I don't want to take the time, make a promise to a seller unless I know I can get it sold, right? Mm. So I'm not going to sign on that line saying, hey, I can buy your house because I know I'm going to resell it to somebody else. I'm not going to sign on that line unless I've taken the time to sit down with someone who's told me exactly what they want. This is why I didn't work the retail market, because when you are trying to buy a house that you're going to live in, your desires are very fickle. So it makes it very unreliable to be able to build a business around that. So mm-hmm. all my heart goes out to all you realtors who are working as buyer agents. I'll give you a big hug. that's hard.
Yeah.
But I liked working with investors because they had very clear parameters. And if you didn't have clear parameters, then I didn't work with you. But when you have clear parameters, I can make any house fit a parameter. You're just buying a stream of cash flow. You just need to understand how to create that stream. And that's really what it came down to.
So basically you're buying a rental, or you're buying something that you can rent.
If you bought for me, yes. Not only did you buy the rental, I made it easy for you to buy. You bought the rental. It was already rehabbed. It was already tenanted. It was, and I had financing in place that you did not have to qualify for with a credit check.
Was it full of a person? Was it rented, or do you have to rent it?
No, it was done.
Damn.
I'd sold the...
I'll take one.
No, you'll take 10, because that's exactly what happened. That's what happened. And, you know, but again, it's not... That's where that was the beginning of getting into real estate and opening up this whole new world, because, see, what I was told so many things that were not true. You know, you can't... If you have bad credit, you can't have a house. I mean, you got to understand, it's June 18th, 2008, first one we closed on. And here I am squatting a bank-owned property with credit score of 398, and I'm holding in my hand the deed to a property. What is not supposed to happen, I have in my hand, and I began to question everything. And that set me off on this journey to today. That's why I went into the apartment space. That's why we did cell phone towers. That's why we did commercial real estate, because people kept telling me what I couldn't do. And I'm like, okay, let's find out.
Yeah. And or at least find out what's involved. Right.
Right. And what has happened is now I get at our highest, we had about 450-ish doors, et cetera. And now we've been switching into this new thing with short-term rentals, because that's honestly, if I was starting over today, that's what I would do to get, quote unquote, get into the real estate thing. So
somebody moves to town, they need a house for a month till they find a house.
Love it. Best customer ever, especially right now. Yeah. Because it's just so frothy. It's easy relative to wholesaling to do. Mm-hmm. And it gives you the experience in the real estate space, and you begin to cash flow within 45 to 60 days or less.
Wow. It's so inspiring.
So I'm going to, am I allowed to give you an idea?
No, you're allowed to give me two.
Okay.
At least two.
You do not teach real estate per se. Real estate is the medium by which Correct. You teach your expertise. Your Correct. Expertise is moxie. And you transfer that ability to somebody else to where they have the actual balls to go out and do what you are sharing with them is their opportunity.
I like it.
Yeah.
And I like that. Moxie is an old drink that sort of tasted like a combination between rat poison and bad Dr. Pepper.
Sounds awful.
It was supposed to be a health drink, and it was sponsored by Ted Williams. He was the spokesperson for Moxie.
Wow.
And all of their memorabilia is amazing. Clocks and banners and bottles and glasses. I have a few of them, but I sold
– crate.
Yeah, I sold most of them, yeah. But it's a term that says I have my shit together.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my shit so together that I can convey it to somebody else and they can catch it.
Yes.
You're not just teaching them a downstroke. You're teaching them an attitude and a self-confidence and a savoir-faire that they can take into the marketplace with a 398-point credit rating and turn it into money.
No one has ever said that to me. I like it. Because that's cool. Literally what.
Well,
it's.
Not only do you like it, it's recorded, so you can have a copy of it. But I will also
Can I play it for my wife later so she can like
yeah. Okay, but the challenge of that goes even further. As you transfer that message, other people have to be able to gain that confidence and say, "I can do that." Now, yes. You cannot say, "If I can do it, you can do it."
No.
But you can say, I did it, therefore it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
And that way the guy's not looking, well, it's easy for you. You know, you're going to open up 10 businesses. I can't do jack shit. And he can't tie his shoelaces.
Right. No, not yet.
Or I think the word would be pay attention. But the challenge that you have is the way you concoct and deliver that message. The way you create and deliver that message based on your success is remarkable.
Thank you.
You know, when you look at what the struggle – and people could never know how many hours you put into each thing and then stepping up from a 50,000 to a 60,000 or a 75,000 and then 100,000 and then you're dealing with $250,000. And if you didn't do 50, you could never do $250,000. You got to start out and not have a great expectation like, oh, yeah, I'm going to start at the million. I don't need all that other shit.
Well,
no, you have to have that other shit or you're going to die from lack of experience.
That was and what you just said was a very key distinction because I remember it very clearly. At the time, a lot of my the friends in the networking groups around me, they were all doing short-term transactions out here in California where they would earn 50, 60, 75 or $100,000. And I'm like, you know what? It didn't fit. It's not sustainable. And you're taking 6 months to get one transaction done. You only got one transaction done. That's not a lot of experience. In that same 6 months, I would do 10, 15, 20, $50,000 transactions. And I would walk away with more experience. And then I'd leverage that experience into the next thing, which I think is what has allowed me to have so much experience in so many various different types of real estate, which, we invest a significant amount of time educating, training, teaching other individuals, because at the end of the day, I know what it's like to fight for food. I know what it's like to have my kids say, "Dad, what's for dinner?" and not have an answer, not because I didn't know what to choose, because there was nothing.
Yeah.
Stared my wife in the face when she's like, "Hey, the electricity got cut off." And we're like, "Well, do you want to buy food or do you want to have electricity?" And I know that there are other people who have had similar experiences and they feel like their answer is to get a job. And you've already learned that that didn't work the first time. And now it's time to do something significantly different and become a different version of yourself. And that's what I had to do. Being the version of myself that I was didn't work. In fact, I have never ran into a person who said, "You know what, today, Jeff, I'm going to aim straight for the bottom." No one has ever said that.
Right.
Therefore, what you are currently experiencing is a result of your best decisions. And if you don't like that, there's only one person to blame and you can do something about that. Yeah.
So title for your speech, your book would be "The First 1,000 Real Estate Transactions Are the Hardest."
I like it.
Because you learn one thing or more from each transaction that you did not know before.
Correct.
Some bullshit happens at a closing thing. Some bullshit happens at a bank thing. Some bullshit happens at an insurance thing. Something pops up, cloud on the title, mechanics lien. Yep. I mean, you name it, it can happen. And most of the time, the closing place, where whatever those people are called these days, they're in the closing prevention department.
It feels that way. It's like, dude, I signed that already. No, you didn't. Yes, yeah, yeah. I did. But and that's the thing, is learning that you're after the goal. I mean, I tell people all the time, it's like, look, if you were hungry and you needed to go to the grocery store, if you encountered one red light, would you turn around and go home and say, oh, well, I guess I don't get to eat today?
No. Or your car runs out of gas. Right, exactly. Are you going to leave it on the side of the road, or are you going to fill her up?
Yeah, you're going to figure it out. And real estate is like that. But that's the thing, is that we as humans have to become a person of character who's willing to persevere through those things, because there's so many skill sets required to get one real estate transaction done. And that can require, it's not just sales. It's not just an understanding. It's a bringing all of those things together. It's teamwork. It's leadership, because you got to get all of those entities, the lender, the buyer, the seller, the any transaction coordinator, every inspector, sometimes the city, the larger your transaction, the more government's involved. And
and the list goes on.
Tweet is, you have to be a person of character, moxie, and self-confidence in order to be a person of wealth. Mm-hmm. And you look at it from your personal perspective, Jay. You turned your character, your moxie, your attitude, and your self-confidence into money.
I'd eat.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, you turned it into food.
Yeah, but a lot of people have to eat, right? And they're not going out and doing what you've done.
Right. You know the one thing I didn't hear from you so far?
What's that?
You haven't been a whiner. Well, I didn't have the food and I didn't know what to do.
I didn't have enough money.
I parked my car in the parking lot and somebody beat the shit out of me and I didn't know what to do. No.
It's funny you say that. Because there's a book, there's a gentleman by the name of Chris Gardner, who the subject of the movie The Pursuit of Happiness, played by Will Smith. In his book, he specifically says, the Calvary ain't coming. Now, you got to understand.
Yeah, no, I understand exactly.
And this was just before 2008. So everybody else was feeling the exuberance. The marketplace was exuberant. My wife was unable to eat or drink. I was unable to walk or talk. And we're sliding downhill fast. And I'm just like, we started in a very rough spot and we had to figure it out because the Calvary wasn't coming.
The market turned to shit right after that.
Yeah.
And I never got a bailout check. So it's like, you know, hey.
I don't understand. Wait a minute. No one sent you anything?
No. That's how it goes.
Check arrived yet, honey? Is the check there?
No. You make your own check.
But and exactly. And someone told me last week, I believe, that's like, you've made your own economy. I was like, that's one way of looking at it. I've never thought about it that way, really.
You're right. You create your own currency.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's what it's come down to. And the thing that I really want everyone to hear, though, is where you start isn't necessarily where you stay. Like I said, we've traveled through many different types of real estate and we've settled. We've planted our flag where we have. But at the end of the day, what I want everybody to hear is that there's greatness inside of you. And you've got to find a way to let it, give it permission to come out. In my case, it took extreme tragedy in order for it to come out. I don't want that to happen, but that does happen a lot. That is very common, where we're afraid to step into the greatness that we were born to be, unless something like that finally says, that's it. You know, we get mad enough finally. We get fired one more time. You know, we get looked over for a promotion and it's like, okay, now I'm going to do it. Yeah. Well, cool. I'm glad something happened, but you know.
You almost have to be pissed off to a point where you know, screw this. I'm going out and I'm doing this by myself.
But this is the
paradox is, you may want to do it, but you may be so scared or so risk averse that you're not willing to do it. You want to do it, but you are not willing to do it.
But when you're down like that, it's that feeling of, well, what else do I have to lose?
And the word I would be, it's a need. You have to need to do it, not just want to do it. Want to do it. You know what? Cool. It's nice. Maybe, you know, I thought I wanted a Lamborghini until I realized they're made for short Italian men and I don't fit. So, you know, but I wouldn't have known. And unless I've gone, went to the dealership, tried to sit in one, I'm like, this doesn't work. I'm
well,
like,
they make them short because the mechanic that has to sit next to you is usually short.
Either way. Until it becomes a need, we don't move.
But this is the challenge. It doesn't matter what socioeconomic group you're in. You can be flat broke or you can have moderate wealth. If you're not willing to take the chance, if you're not willing to take the risk, you're not going anywhere.
Correct.
And most people have a lifestyle, and that lifestyle is something that they don't want to lose. I don't want to lose my house and have to move to a trailer or move to an apartment. So I may not want to take the risk that might make me lose the house.
Or they can't see how to get out of their current situation, and it might not be the lifestyle they want.
Or they're making enough money in their job to pay all their bills, and they don't want to risk having enough money to pay all their bills.
It's just, and I hear those things and I know that they're there, but here's the thing. It's, you don't really understand the risk that you actually are taking. You don't really understand things like counterparty risk. I mean, and what I mean by that is simply what you have in your wallet or purse right now for the majority of individuals who are listening to me, you have actually never used money. You've used currency. You've not used money. By not understanding that, you feel like, oh, I got $100,000 in the bank, I'm safe. I have this great job, I'm safe. No, what you have are single points of failure. There's a reason an airplane has two wings, because, you know, without one, there's a problem.
And tell me about it. I'm flying to Connecticut today. I'm hoping for two wings and two engines.
Yeah, right. There's redundancy in that. But by not understanding the banking and financing system and how you can play this game, because you and I, we can't earn money faster than they can print it. And we must learn to understand how to create value and leverage that in the marketplace.
But this is awesome.
Yeah, totally awesome. Because a lot of people feel as though they get their paycheck every week. And even if they're in sales and they make commissions on it, that they've reached their ceiling level and they can't go higher. Mm-hmm. And what Jay is saying is that there are opportunities beyond your present situation that can help you get to wealth rather than salary or paycheck.
100%. Because what it comes down to is we're not trained to recognize opportunity, to be honest. The only opportunity we are trained to recognize is spelled J-O-B. And that's the challenge. I mean, we go to school, we have a schooling system, not necessarily an education system. And the challenge with that is that we don't know what opportunity actually looks like. It looks like, I mean, and I've done this in every country I've ever spoken at, even when I'll get someone to translate, if it's in a foreign language, I'm like, give me today's newspaper. I can take today's newspaper, scan the headlines, and I will find a potential real estate transaction, because see, it's a solution to a problem. And the newspapers do nothing but amplify the problems that are happening in any geographic area. So you just have to go out there and look at it. It's a free lead source, people. But, you know, hey, what do I know?
Well, you know a lot. So where can people find out more about you, and where can, and we'll put all these
and
links
when are
in
you coming
notes.
Over?
Coming over to North
Charlotte.
You ever go east?
I do. I know I'm planning a trip in March, but if I had a reason, I could probably come sooner.
You could be our house guest.
Yeah.
For
sure.
We put up all kinds of people, but real estate people, we usually charge half.
Thanks.
But, all right. No. So
cash, of course.
Yeah, I got only cash, real money. You actually want money, though. You don't want currency.
I promise.
That's correct.
All right. Where can people find out more?
Got it. You can find me online anywhere. Cashflow Diary is the name. Cashflow Diary, singular. So cashflowdiary.com. We have a podcast on iTunes, cashflowdiarypodcast.com, on YouTube as well. Guess what? It's Cashflow Diary. Instagram, also Cashflow Diary. And that's what we do. You know, we exist to literally create entrepreneurs. We leverage, as was said, real estate as the instructional medium so that we become the biggest, best version of themselves that they've ever experienced.
Well, I'll just throw this at you. And this is one of the garden rules and the benchmark rules of sales. They're not buying your product. They're buying you.
Yeah.
If I don't buy you first, I ain't buying shit. And And I think that you have to look at it from that perspective. Like, you have a great product, you have a great process, but the first thing I'm going to do is buy Jay Massey.
Yeah.
100%.
Woo!
So.
All right, this has been awesome. Thank you for joining us.
So damn. So happy Christmas, happy birthday, happy New Year.
Happy everything. Diehards, thank you for listening to Sell or Die. If you like what you heard, make sure to subscribe and rate this podcast. Give it a star in Overcast and tell a friend.
Tell both your friends. Just don't tell your competition. You can follow me on Twitter at Gittimer and Jen at Sales in Any Minute.
Send your sales questions to sellordie@gittimer.com. We'll be back next week with Motivation Monday and another amazing guest.
Until then, I'm Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And we're reminding you to get out there and sell or die.
Even if your ass falls off.
Sell or Diehards, attention. If you love the show, make sure you have subscribed to the show.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes and give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend, tell both your friends about the best sales podcast on the planet.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true seller diehard, and we thank you.
Thank you.
Merci beaucoup.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.